This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Sex with inmates, maggots in the food, smuggling drugs to inmates, and more. When is enough enough with Aramark, the food service company hired 7 months ago to feed inmates in Michigan prisons? That privatization was supposed to save the state over $12 million a year, but it has been a Pandora's box of troubles for state prison officials ever since Aramark took over, and that was just in December. Paul Egan is with the Detroit Free Press Lansing Bureau. Paul, now we hear four female Aramark employees at the Bellamy Creek Correctional Facility were fired for having sexual contact with male inmates in a walk-in cooler.
Yes, Cynthia, that's the latest.
That, I think, got everybody's ew factor just ramped up.
It's interesting. If you look at the number of employees that have been fired and banned from the prisons by month, it isn't getting any better. It actually started out high, it dipped a little bit, and then it's gone up again in the last couple of months. So, you know, one of the things Aramark said early on is we're going to have some transition problems, and we'll get through that, and things will improve. So far, at least, there's no sign that things are improving.
Well, it's quite amazing realizing that attention has become focused since the reports of the maggots and the food came out, and there seems to be quite a spotlight on Aramark, and things are only getting worse.
Right. And, you know, people that we do hear a number of comments from people saying, well, you know, not everything was perfect under the state employees. And that's certainly true. I'm sure the food probably wasn't something you or I would want to eat on a daily basis. And there were some incidents where state employees got in trouble, but there certainly wasn't anything like the volume of cases we're seeing right now where the numbers are, there's been over 80 Aramark workers banned from prison property. What I've gotten from the state is that, over the last 3 years, there may have been five state kitchen workers that got into similar types of trouble.
The Free Press used the Freedom of Information Act to obtain more than 3,000 pages of state records about Aramark. Your story for the Free Press has some pretty eye-popping reading. What did you learn?
Well, there were just a lot of complaints, and that you could kind of group them into a few categories, Cynthia. The other, sort of on a broader picture, the interesting thing was just the frank talk that you saw among wardens and the prison administration about these problems. Up until recently, they've been putting a pretty brave face on the situation, saying that that they're confident that the situation's going to turn around. But we saw emails where the corrections department manager in charge of administering the contract is saying he's at his wit's end, and you had wardens saying, you know, I warned them about this. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas, and just some very strongly worded dissatisfaction about this company's performance. And then I think you could group it into a few areas. Not enough food, lousy food, including we saw, you know, references to rotten meat, problems with sanitation, prisoners sneezing over food. These are workers that worked in the kitchen, dirty kitchens, portions too small, having to substitute things that didn't really make any sense. You know, there was a case where they ran out of juice for the prisoners, so they gave them popsicles instead. That doesn't really follow the prison standard menu. Then there's all kinds of security issues. Workers bringing marijuana, cell phones, other items that are not allowed into the prison. And what we saw is kind of a growing concern among some of the wardens about the fact that the prisoners were getting so fed up with this situation that they were concerned that they were beginning to act out and break things. In some cases, boycotting meals. There was a small hunger strike that took place at one prison. These were all incidents that had not been publicly disclosed previously.
Warning signs. Well, let's talk about Aramark. This is a big, big food service company. But there have been troubles with Aramark's prison food service. Kentucky, what, they had a riot in 2009 that was blamed on anger over the food.
Yes, and, you know, there's some disagreement about to what extent food was behind that riot, but that was certainly the view of corrections, some corrections officers and others. We should say about Aramark, just on the bigger picture, that Correction Services is just one of their business units. They're a huge multinational company. They deal with, they cater the arenas, sporting events, hospitals, private companies, even school districts, many school districts, and they're into also uniforms. So they're a big company. They're into all kinds of things. And, to be fair to the company, their record in other areas, although I think you'd certainly have heard complaints about their school services in some districts, that, we certainly don't hear this kind of complaint about, I think it's fair to say, not at this level, about their services generally.
That leads to the question, why are they doing such a lousy job with feeding prison inmates, not only in Michigan, but elsewhere? Florida, they canceled the contract in Florida with troubles, repeated complaints. Why is the prison service so rotten?
Well, you've got the ultimate captive audience. So first of all, and this is really a case where you're trying to keep your costs as low as possible. And so we're talking about, feeding grown men three meals a day for a couple of dollars. And so that is going to mean taking a number of steps to try to save money. The other issue is when you try to come in and really lowball a contract like this, you're talking about paying workers $10 or $11 an hour. And that's been, it appears from everything that I've read and been told by various people in the prison system, that's one of the biggest problems here, because people that are working in a very stressful environment for $10 or $11 an hour, one, they don't tend to have a lot of skills and training, so to be important to train them very well. Two, if they get a better job, which for that kind of money may come along, they're going to quit, or they're maybe not going to show up. And turnover is seen as a real security problem. You don't want people, new faces coming in to the prison system every day. That was one of the warden's initial concerns about this whole idea, was they don't really like outsiders coming into the prison because they like to have sort of control over their whole situation. And state employees, which were making, roughly twice as much money, they certainly had a deeper stake in keeping that job and following the rules, and were also better trained in terms of searching prisoners and not being as easily manipulated, where you see these kinds of incidents where, people are, we saw ones where workers were baking special cakes for inmates because they were getting out of prison, or a large number of romantic incidents where workers were found with love notes to or from inmates, or, we had an earlier case in Carson City where they opened a walk-in cooler and found an Aramark worker and an inmate engaged in a sex act.
We need to talk about Lansing, because there are a couple of questions that come to mind. Knowing that there was spotty service with prisons in other states, why'd they get the contract in the first place? And then with this total cascade of events since December, why do they still have a contract?
Well, the first question is an interesting one, because the Corrections Department never wanted to do this in the first place. The legislature pushed this first by putting some language in the budget that required them to call for bids on this to see if they could get a better price. The Corrections Department had significantly reduced their kitchen costs over the last few years and felt that they, if given a little bit more time, they were going to be able to reduce the costs even further. The legislature didn't want to wait, said, "We want you to call bids." They did call bids, and when the bids came in, they analyzed them and concluded that they really weren't going to save any money. Aramark and another company had put in prices that, when they factored everything else, both the Department of Technology Management and Budget, which are the budget crunchers, and the Department of Corrections, said, "This isn't going to save us any money." Well, the legislature wasn't satisfied. They said, "Well, we don't like the way you've analyzed these contracts. We want you to go back and crunch the numbers again." And they actually went back, and one of the things that they changed is they had included that they were going to have to spend more money by putting more corrections officers in the kitchens, because unlike the state workers, these contractors wouldn't be trained in how to pat down prisoners, which the state employees were. And so Aramark came back and said, no, we'll train our employees. They'll be just as good in terms of security as the state workers. Well, today, these Aramark workers still are not able to pat down prisoners, and the prison administration, not the union, is saying that they're having to put more corrections officers into the kitchen to maintain security, to make sure the prisoners are not stealing food. So in that area where they got the contract sort of they got the numbers crunched over again, it doesn't appear that at least so far, Aramark has been able to say, you know, what they said they were going to do, which would make the numbers all right.
And speaking of what they said they were going to do, it certainly seems that Aramark officials have been kind of hanging their official responses on this controversy over privatizing the prison food service, saying, well, we're not interested in the media circus about anti-privatization. But you found internal Aramark emails tell a somewhat different story than the public statements.
That's true. I mean, there were a large number of emails from Aramark managers to the district managers that kind of supervise these Aramark workers in the kitchens, and they're saying, you know, listen, guys, we're getting fined. This is ridiculous. I've told you guys to do better. Nothing seems to change. And in one email, the top Aramark official said, should I deduct these fines out of your paycheck, talking to the Aramark district managers. Now, whether that ultimately happened, I'm not sure. But yes, there was that level of dissatisfaction with the Aramark supervisors overseeing these prisons that Aramark was actually threatening to take the Michigan fined the company $98,000 for various contract violations, and they were threatening to take that money out of their paychecks.
I'm speaking with Paul Egan, who is with the Detroit Free Press Lansing Bureau, as we look at the many, many problems with the company of Aramark providing food service for inmates in Michigan prison. So let's talk about the politics behind this, because the question has to remain, what would it take for Governor Snyder to yank this contract?
Well, Governor Snyder doesn't describe himself, at least, as a strong advocate of privatization. He won't even use the term privatization for this contract. He says he believes in competitive bidding and that you know, this was put up for competitive bidding and you know, that generally the lowest bidder should win. But there certainly is a belief among many, particularly Republican lawmakers in the legislature, that the private sector can generally do things better than the public sector. Now, if this, you know, it's kind of hard for them. I haven't heard too many of those lawmakers coming forward to defend the performance of Aramark on this contract. We have heard some talk that it's possible they'll, you know, rebid the contract or possibly even give it to the other private company that was the second lowest bidder, is another possibility if they want to stick with the private company. But it would seem at least that the state would get another chance at, you know, the State Department of Corrections would get another chance at putting in another price. The problem is so many of those trained employees are now doing something else. Many of them retired. Some of them actually became corrections officers because they were given first crack at a school for corrections officers that opened up shortly after this contract started. So, you know, if they do decide to cancel this contract and, you know, whether they would be able to kind of assemble the state workforce that they had before is really open to question.
This has to be giving Democrats quite the club to use against the governor.
Well, there certainly have been a lot of criticisms of the governor over this. The one thing I do find is, because it's prisoners we're talking about, you do get a lot of people in the general public that, you know, and you see this, the comments and the stories, well, you know, hey, they're prisoners, you know, feed them bread and water. I don't care if there's maggots in their meals or not. And I mean, you can certainly you know, one way you could say from a human rights perspective, that's not how we treat people in this country, whether they're citizens, whether they're prisoners or not. But you know, another way to look at it is just look at, we're paying this company $50 million a year to do a job. Are we getting our money's worth? And that seems to be a question that may have a little more political resonance, because nobody's going to go out really, you know, campaigning on a theme of I want prisoners to get better meals.
This is like this drip, drip, drip of salacious headlines at times and stomach-turning headlines. What should we look for, Paul?
Well, a couple of things. One thing is the contract that the state signed with Aramark is, in terms of cancellation clauses, is actually a pretty good contract for the state. If they cancel the contract for cause, which is one of two ways they could cancel it, Aramark actually has to cover all the costs related to the cancellation, including possibly costs related to finding somebody to replace them. So, you know, they actually got some pretty good language in there if they can, you know, if they can make the case that they're canceling them for cause. And that's why this may be taking longer, if that's what they decide to do. This may take a little longer than some people might like, because if you're going to cancel the contract for cause, you really have to, you have to follow a procedure. You got to set up the steps. You may notice starting July 1st, they put Aramark on notice that they were going to start strict enforcement of the meal portion and menu substitution aspects of the contract. Basically, you know, you've been warned. If you screw up in this area again, you know, we can cancel the contract. We can fine you some more. What is a little bit less clear is why they haven't put them on notice on the fraternization familiarity stop order issue, why they haven't said, you know, there's been too many instances, because there's been dozens where Aramark employees have been fired for getting too friendly with prisoners. I would think that that we may see that happen, sort of the formal letter go out on that issue. And what the department has said is what their plan was at the end of July to kind of review things, how things have gone in July, and make a decision where to go from there. However, they haven't ruled out doing something sooner, and if things continue to happen like what happened yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised to see something happen before the end of the month.
Paul Egan is with the Detroit Free Press Lansing Bureau. Paul, thank you so much for the insight, and I have a feeling we'll be talking more about this.
Okay, Cynthia, have a great day.